This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builder Supply and State Senator. He joins us. Floyd, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Kyle. I hope you're doing well.
And let's talk about what's going on with lawmakers right now. I know you've all been very involved in a lot of phone calls, getting a lot of updates from state officials pretty much every day.
We are. We have a briefing that's open to the legislature and some local officials, elected officials, every day. That's conducted by the Department of Health, Oregon Health Authority, as well as the governor's office. Besides that, many of us are doing a lot of different work through video and audio conferencing, and it's somewhat nonstop. It's pretty significant limitations that we have for how we can conduct business. But everyone I'm speaking to that are elected officials at the state level are finding that these are the means that we need to take based on the significant risk that we pose to others as well as those would pose to us in being in close proximity of each other.
So what do you do with all this information that you're getting?
Well, basically, depending on what we're working on, I mean, for myself, I have multiple work groups as I normally do in the area of judiciary. I'm also, because of my work in judiciary, looking at vulnerable areas of the state. The Department of Corrections is one of the areas that I have focused on because of my work as the chair of the Judiciary Committee, ensuring that everyone that's in these closed type of facilities, we're taking the best precautions that we can to protect everyone. That's not only adults in custody, but clearly our staff, and then that means an extension of the staff to their families.
So what are your thoughts about how the state has handled this situation so far?
At this point, I'm very pleased with what the governor has shown in the leadership that she has offered to the state and the requirements that she has put in place. As you probably know, there are a number of executive orders that have come out since she's declared the state of emergency. And I know that there's a lot of work going on based on what's is coming from the federal government through the CARES Act that was passed about 2 weeks ago in determining exactly what type of financial resources the state is going to be receiving, what are the limitations and expectations of those resources and how they need to be applied within a state, and also then looking at what our own resources at the state level are and what they can in fact be used for, and supplementing what the federal relief will provide, as well as where can we use some of our state resources that federal resources can't be used. So there's a lot of different pieces there, and many of my colleagues who are on different committees that would focus in these areas are doing similar to what I'm doing with my hat on as the chair of the Judiciary Committee.
I imagine that all of the responses that have been happening are going to prove to be a bit of a drain on the state coffers.
Right now, we're in free fall. I mean, all I can tell you is that we do not know what the bottom of this will be. The anticipation at this point is anywhere from, I've heard, as low as $1 billion to up to $5 billion in impact to the state resources. We have approximately $2 billion in two different reserve accounts, I should say, that could potentially be reallocated or redirected through some type of loan-type process to help give some relief in some of the areas. But we are definitely will be experiencing this financial resource refall for some time.
So do you figure that at some point there's going to be a need for a special session of the legislature in some form to deal with some of these?
Yes, I do. Many of us thought we would have already been in a special session already. I'm one of those in that belief. But I also have to give the nod to the governor based on what she stated for the reasons not starting a special session prematurely. Basically, as I mentioned, having federal revenue coming in, resources, We need to know exactly what that is and how that can be used. I think this is a wise approach. Some people now believe, because we're in April, that she, meaning the governor, may want to wait until we see exactly what this financial free fall that we're in, based on the forecast. Our next scheduled quarterly forecast is middle of May, and so some people now think that she may be waiting until then. What we should also realize is there are two ways that the governor can bring us into a special session. She can call for what I would call a general special session. That is one that allows for a lot of work to be done in a lot of different areas. That's not specific to one issue. She also has, that's under the Oregon Constitution, under Article 10A, a catastrophic disaster special session provisions. This is one that is explicitly focused on a issue that occurs through a declaration of an emergency. This type of health crisis does, in fact, qualify for that type of special session. This is one that would only allow us to be in special session for 30 days unless three-fifths of the members who are able to attend are able to come to an agreement to extend beyond the 30 days. As you can imagine, with this being a health crisis with a viral infection, and because of the risk group being 60 and older, many of the members in the legislature are in high risk. And then so then the question becomes, how do we actually get people together to meet and at the same time honor the perspective that the governor has put forward is keeping social distancing? I prefer the term physical distancing because I think we want to still stay social. We just got to do it as a distance. So there is a lot of moving parts here, and they're continue to be moving around as we go through this process. But I have to compliment all of the citizens of Oregon who have taken the governor's executive order seriously as to staying at home. We have seen that the modeling that is being done by the University of Washington's Medical School of Medicine that is monitoring and modeling, I should say, the Oregon as well as Washington is showing that we are bending the curve and taking a lot of the concern of the running out of resources immediately and putting people at graver risk in hospital situations of one not having the beds available and or having the equipment that's necessary. And so we are actually at this point winning this battle against this infection, this virus. So I think it's one of those things that we have to be complimentary to ourselves that we're heeding the words. I know this last weekend had to be very difficult for many individuals and families just because of it being Easter weekend, but also with the weather being as nice as it was to not feel tempted to get out into situations that would be life-threatening for them and others.
Obviously, so many businesses have closed, others have reduced hours, et cetera. At what point do you look at the economic impact and wonder if certain things can be changed or slowly brought back in terms of what's being allowed to reduce some of the just large amount of damage to the economy and the business community?
That's happening right now. Those are many of the other puzzle pieces that are being looked at is on the, I guess I'm going to call it on the financial impact to individuals as well as businesses, which also impact individuals, that small businesses. As you probably know, there's a lot of information that's coming out. My newsletters, we've put out four of them in the last 4 weeks that are specifically on the COVID-19. Many of those have actual contact information for individuals as well as for small businesses as to how they can apply for different loans through the Small Business Administration, as well as looking at what Business Oregon is attempting to do to help facilitate. You're correct. We do need to start looking at how and when can we start bringing some business commerce back online. We want to do it as quickly as we can. At the same time, it needs to be one that's measured as to not having a repeat that we've seen in other parts of the world where they have loosened some of the restrictions they had only to have a second infection kick in. So a lot of that is being worked on. I can't tell you as to when the governor would be starting to make some of those calls, but I know that this is being looked at basically 24/7.
State Senator Floyd Przanski, any final thoughts, Floyd?
Well, I think the most important thing is, again, my hat is tipped to everyone for doing what needs to be done, and that is maintaining this safe physical distance and also ensuring that you are washing your hands with soap and water frequently and taking the steps as you have very seriously, because that's how we at the community level are going to overcome this crisis, is for us to make certain that we take care of ourselves and all of those around us that we love.
All right, Floyd, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.
843 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.